Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. Let me tell you about our special guest. His name is Richard L. Pinion. Rick Pinion is the owner of Pinion Financial Services, PFS, and he also is a branch manager for Walnut Street Securities, which we'll get him to explain to us in a minute what all that means. But PFS is a financial planning organization. They specialize in designing and implementing comprehensive financial plans, including investment programs, retirement planning, and insurance for individuals and businesses. Rick received his master's degree in business administration from the American University. He's a chartered financial consultant and a chartered life underwriter. One of the things that I am impressed with him about is he is the former president from 90 to 91 of the Potomac Chamber of Commerce. Now, you don't get to be the president of the Chamber of Commerce, folks, unless you got your cornflakes together. So that impressed me. Also, he's recognized as by the Million Dollar Roundtable, the National Sales Achievement Award, and the National Quality Award. He received all those. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Jim.
Thank you for being with us, Rick. I appreciate you doing this. And, folks, one of the things that I've asked Rick to do is something that I really haven't done before. I was trying to think back if I'd ever done this exact thing before on the show, and I never have, and that is Rick is going to help us understand how financial planners work, the financial planning industry. We're going to talk about all that because that's what Rick is an expert at, and we're going to talk a little bit about some financial issues later in the show probably, and if we don't get into as much as we want today, we'll probably invite Rick back to talk to us about that again. But first, I'd like just to lay out the landscape of financial planning. Let's sort of understand what's out there, what the different levels, the different strata of financial planning is. Rick, I know you can help us do that.
Sure. Well, for Jim, first of all, I just wanted to tell you that I was driving to work this morning. I had a chance to reflect on your show.
Huh?
And I thought to myself, it's a very unique show, because you're reaching out to both small business owners and also small business dreamers. You represent a breath of fresh air, kind of a ray of sunshine in the wilderness. A lot of times people are sitting in their cars, they're waiting for the light to change. Your show reaches people very early in the morning when they're hopping out of the shower or shaving. And I can visualize those people out there listening to your show, and many of them don't realize how easy it is to break out of that 9-to-5 routine and be free, and determine their own destiny, and to dream their own dreams rather than having someone else dream for them. You know, small business accounts for most jobs in this country. It also pays the most taxes. I think small businesses are the backbone of the American economy. And, Jim, you help foster the growth of that freedom and independence. I just wanted to let you know that and give you a little pat on the back.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. I sure wasn't going to interrupt you. I mean, you were on a roll there. I appreciate you saying that, Rick. It means a lot to me for you to say that. I know you are a listener. You have been listening. I know WMET is the station you listen over as a rule out of Gaithersburg there, and I think you're in Bethesda. Is that right?
That's correct. I'm
very hard by to Gaithersburg there, and I appreciate you saying that. I really do care a lot about small business owners and dreamers, and it's a pleasure to know that some of my audience feels that way. And I'm looking forward to getting to know you a little bit better and to finding out what you've got to say about financial planners. Small business owners need financial planners, I think, because for a lot of different reasons, for their personal business, for their company business, and for their employees' programs. And as you and I both know, there are a lot of different folks out there who can and who claim to be able to help people with their investments. And with investments is not just we're not just talking about stocks and bonds either. We're talking about a lot of different things. An investment could be insurance program policy or an annuity or it could be stock. It could be real estate. It could be a lot of different things, right?
That's correct.
Let's go back to what I call the financial planning industry. There are a number of different folks, different kinds of disciplines that fit into the financial planning industry. And some of the things that I've got on my list here, Rick, and I'm going to read them off, and then you tell me, I'd like for you to talk to us about them, and then you can add others if you want. But there are commission-based financial planners. There are fee-based financial planners, fee-only financial planners, meaning they don't take commissions. There are stock brokers, and there are insurance agents, and there are others, I know. But Rick, I just wanted to get you kicked off with that, with those thoughts.
Sure. As a matter of fact, many people come to financial planning with a variety of credentials and a variety of backgrounds. I guess the most common ones that you see every day are certified financial planners. In other words, abbreviated CFP is the acronym.
Right.
Chartered financial consultants, CHFCs. Others may hold degrees and or registrations such as a lawyer, a JD.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Certified public accountant, CPA, or chartered life underwriter, CLU. So those are the main credentials we look for when we seek out a financial planner.
Okay. Now, that's interesting. Of course, and as you probably know, I've had more than one CPA on the show. I'm not sure that they think of themselves as a financial planner in the way that you and I are talking today, though.
Well, the International CPA Association has actually come out with a special designation for CPAs.
Is that right?
That's correct.
What is that?
I'm trying to think. I can't remember the initials offhand, but it's designed for those CPAs that want to give broader-based advice to their clients.
That's an interesting concept. And Doug Stiers, our resident CPA, is going to be with us on Wednesday. I'll ask him that question. Maybe,
sure.
And he'll probably know that the answer to that question. Let's go back up and talk about the commissioned based and the fee based. The difference between the commission based and the fee based financial planner.
Sure. Well, I think the there's three different ways of determining fees when you visit a financial planner. The first group are what they call fee-only financial planners. And basically, they base their charge on gathering your financial data, analyzing it, and recommending a plan of action and
right.
helping you implement it. They do not earn income from financial products, you know, that they might suggest that you buy.
Right. And you pay them for their time.
Right.
In other words, pay them a fee for their time.
That's correct.
Yeah. Rick, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to get back into this, folks, in a minute where Rick has explained to us the different kinds of financial planners that you could encounter or that you could hire or associate with. 888-822-8255. If you've got a question, a financial question, or about anything that we're talking about, 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 20 after. Stay with us. All right, we are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our new friend, Rick Pinion. Rick is the president of Pinion Financial Services, and he's also a branch manager of the Walnut Street of four Walnut Street Securities. And we're going to get him to tell us about that in a second. And Rick, I want to get back into describing the landscape of the financial planning industry. But before we get into that, Chuck tells me we have a couple callers. Who we got, Chuck?
Well, first up is Mary in Chicago.
Hi, Mary.
Yes, hi there.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Say hi to Rick Pinion.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good, thank you.
What can we do for you, Mary?
Well, I've heard a lot lately about annuities as a way to plan for retirement, and I've been wondering exactly what an annuity is.
That's a good question. Mary, Rick, help her out here.
That's an excellent question. As a matter of fact, an annuity is a contract issued by an insurance company. And the beautiful thing about an annuity is that it's a way to put money aside for long-term goals such as retirement. The money is invested for you, and the money builds up tax deferred, so you don't pay any taxes on the growth. And then when you take the money out later on at retirement, you can take it out for your life expectancy. As long as you live, the annuity will be there giving you a monthly income. And part of each payment will be tax-free, and part will be taxable as interest. An annuity is a wonderful investment. As a matter of fact, Mary, I need your help. There's a bill that's coming out of Washington now with the president's 2000 budget plan in which they're suggesting additional taxes on annuities, which I think would hurt the product because many, many average people use annuities for savings, for college, and for retirement. So anything that you can do to help us or the listeners, we would appreciate.
Thank you.
Mary, did that help?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Mary, stand by a second. Rick, an annuity is typically offered by insurance companies.
Right.
Right? And is an annuity sort of like, it's in some ways it's like the way a participating insurance policy functions, only without the death benefit and therefore without the expense of a death benefit?
Right. Well, see, the annuity is like, it reminds me of an M&M.
Uh-huh.
And inside the M&M, you may have a group of sub-accounts that are offered by some of your large investment companies.
Mm-hmm.
It was like similar to mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
And wrapped around those funds is a thin layer of insurance.
Ah.
And that insurance is the magic that gives it the tax deferral.
Right.
It also says that if a person dies, their beneficiaries are guaranteed either to get what the person put into the annuity or the market value, whichever is higher.
That's good. I've never heard it explained exactly like that. And by the way, an annuity is the financial product that will not melt in your hands, right?
Right. only if you taste it too much.
I'm sorry, Rick. I couldn't let that one go. That was actually too easy. I shouldn't have taken it. Mary, does that help?
Yeah, it does. And I just was wondering, are there any downsides to going with an annuity as opposed to just a regular investment for your retirement?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, Mary. There's two things that you have to watch for. One is if you take the money out before you're age 59 and a half, the federal government imposes a 10% tax on those funds coming out. The second thing you have to look out for is when you go into an annuity, it's for long-term growth. And if a person cashes it in the early years, there may be a surrender charge on those funds, similar to what you would experience with a CD in a bank when you take it out early. So you want to read the prospectus to make sure that you understand all the facets before you go into an annuity.
Mary, I want to stand by a second again. I want to ask Rick another question about this annuity. An annuity is, when you buy into an annuity, you're really counting on the investment ability of that insurance company that provides that product, right? I mean, that's one of the things, one of the downsides. If you think you can do a better job in the marketplace, which most of us can't, than an insurance company because they have professionals there, but your annuity is really it's a pretty conservative investment strategy, isn't it?
Jim, I'm glad you mentioned that because there's actually two different types of annuities. I think what you're referring to is a fixed annuity,
right?
Where the insurance company does the investing for you in very conservative type investments. Like
right. It's typically,
bond.
You know, maybe they guarantee you maybe 4%, but typically the yield is 7 to 8% or something like that.
Right. That's the fixed annuity.
Okay. Good.
The other type is called a variable annuity, and a variable annuity you pretty much direct where those investments will go. You will
right.
pick which underlying investments the money will be placed. And therefore, you're the one that's actually incurring the risk of the ups and downs of the marketplace.
All right. Mary, that was an excellent question. Did
Thank
that
you.
Help? I hope that helped.
Yes, it really did. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling
okay.
in, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Rick, Chuck tells me we've got another caller. We're going to take them right after we come back after these messages. Outstanding job, Rick. Very good. It's 29 after the hour, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Rick Pinion, President of Pinion Financial Services. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. The reason you want to pay attention to that number is because that's the number to call or talk to me or my special guest, Rick Pinion, our new friend, the president of Pinion Financial Services. We're talking about the financial services industry, the financial planning industry, I guess I should say, more specifically. And I'm not sure, Chuck, have we still got another caller?
We sure do. It's Dale in Minnesota.
All right, Dale, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Great. You're listening over the Internet, aren't you?
No, I'm not, actually.
Oh, okay. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question regarding Roth IRAs, specifically what defines a Roth IRA and what kind of benefits that offers me over other retirement plans.
That's a good question. Rick, why don't you take that one?
Sure. Matter of fact, the Roth IRA is kind of the new kid on the street.
Mm-hmm.
It was developed at the end of 1997. And I guess the best way to explain the way that a Roth IRA works is to compare it with the traditional IRA. You know, with the traditional IRA, a person puts up to $2,000 a year. They get a tax deduction for that money. The IRA builds tax deferred, and then when they take it out, of course, it's taxable. So Congress wanted to create a new type of IRA where the person actually gives up the deduction today in return for that money, building up tax-free, and then at the end of the rainbow, when they take it out, the money comes out tax-free.
All the money, the investment and the yield.
Right.
Everything is tax-free.
So it's kind of a nice thing. Every so often, Congress does something that favors both small businesses and individuals, and this is a perfect example.
Right. Dale, does that help?
I believe it does.
Well, one thing, Dale, I wanted to ask Rick about is Rick, there are there are certain age ranges that the Roth IRA is better for, isn't it? Isn't there?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's a good thing to point out. With every good advantage, sometimes comes some disadvantages. For example, most people, when they think of a Roth IRA, they're just starting out in their career, and they obviously want to take advantage of that savings so they can build up money for the long range.
Right.
The nice thing about the Roth is that you can continue making contributions beyond the age of 70 and a half, whereas a traditional IRA, you've got to start taking the money out at 70 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the nice things. There's no age problem with a Roth IRA.
So there's no, if you're 60 years old, there's no reason why you wouldn't invest in a Roth?
That's correct.
Okay. What about, and Dale, I didn't mean to, if you got any more questions, go ahead, because I've got some too for him to add on to your question. Have you got anything else?
No, I didn't. I think Rick covered it pretty well for me.
Well, hang on. I've got one more for him for you that I'd like for him to answer that I think may give you some good information. Rick, what about the conversion? What about converting from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, and what's the timing on that and the benefits?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that started last year, and if you can remember, it was a lot of people were confused about to Roth or not to Roth. That was the question.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the government says that you could convert your old IRA and pay the taxes and spread it over a four-year period, and then you'd be done. Then the rest of the money would build up tax-free if you converted to the new Roth IRA.
Right.
So many people did that. Other people procrastinated, and they waited until this year, 1999, to do that. And if they converted this year or transformed their old IRA into the Roth, they have to pay all the taxes in this year, 1999.
Right. Yeah, but still, if you are a certain age, and I guess maybe that's what I was thinking of early, if you are a younger person, it's still a good deal for you to do that, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Dale, I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Dale. Let us know if we can do anything else to help you.
All righty.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Good job, Rick.
Boy, we're getting a lot of callers. This is exciting.
Yeah, exactly. 888-822-8255. Folks, a lot of different questions that you might have on your mind. Give us a call. We've got one of the experts on the show right now. Rick, let's go back to my original question to you, and that was to help us understand the financial planning industry. And you were telling us about commission-based financial planners and fee-based financial planners. What about stockbrokers? Where do they fit into all this?
Well, I would classify most stockbrokers as commission-only planners.
Right.
And that is they charge no fee for the service to their clients, but they make their money through commissions paid by the marketers of the investment products they sell.
Now, when I think of a financial planner, I think of someone who you basically go to them and you give them pretty much all of your portfolio. Maybe you don't give them the real estate or something like that, but you basically give them your insurance and your annuities and your IRAs and your KIOs and that sort of thing. You give them that and you say, okay, and here's my discretionary money. Help me invest this. And obviously you're very involved and they don't just do it on their own, unless that's what you've told them to do. But typically when I think of a stockbroker, I don't think of a stockbroker as, even though they do financial planning through through managing your stock portfolio, I don't think of them as getting into the other instruments like insurance and annuities.
Well, that's correct, and that's where the educational part comes back. In other words, has this individual, whether if he's an attorney, a stockbroker, or insurance agent, have they taken the additional specialized courses
that
teaches them to assess relevant financial data and make assessments and make recommendations to a client rather than just a provincial approach where they focus on one particular product or service?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wanted to make sure we talked about all these things, folks, because I wanted Rick to explain these things, not that one is better than the other, but whatever you need to make sure that you understand which profession, which discipline you should plug into your situation, whether you need a commission-based financial planner, a fee-based, a stockbroker, an insurance agent, whatever you might need. We're going to take a quick break. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Rick Pinion, the president of Pinion Financial Services, 888-822-8255. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to give us a call and ask a question of me or my special guest, our new friend Rick Pinion, the president of Pinion Financial Services. He's also a branch manager for Walnut Street Securities. Rick, take a minute and tell us a little bit about your company and about Walnut Street Securities.
Sure. Walnut Street Securities is in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm a branch manager with Walnut Street Securities and a registered principal with the NASD.
Right.
Walnut Street Securities, of course, is a separate entity from Pinion Financial Services. Walnut Street Securities is a member of the National Association of Security Dealers and also a member of SIPIC,
mm-hmm.
Securities Protection Insurance Corporation. So that's pretty much what we do. We mainly deal with high net worth individuals and also with small business owners.
Okay. And when you deal with these people, what types of activity do you get into with them?
Well, I think the first thing we do is we assess their relevant financial history, such as their tax returns, investments, retirement and estate planning, wills and insurance policies. We also review their net worth statement.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the key thing that we try to do, especially for small business owners, is we try to help them crystallize and develop their major goals and objectives. Because once we've identified where they want to go, then we can put together a roadmap for them, kind of like a mosaic.
Right.
You know, most people go through life and they grab a stock here or a mutual fund there, or they grab an insurance policy somewhere else. But no one sits down and works out a coordinated plan that they can live with.
Well, I'll tell you, Rick, I really like knowing that about what you guys do. And what I want to do is I want to invite you to come back and help me to conduct some shows on how to do a good job of financial planning in your business, because, you know, you've heard me, anybody who's listened to my show before has heard me say that there is no seam between a small business owner and his or her business. It's seamless. It's hard to tell where one starts and the other one stops, and so they need help with, when you talk to a small business owner, and I know you've seen this, Rick, when you talk to a small business owner and you're talking to them about financial planning, you know, you could be, one minute you could be talking about their individual situation, and the next minute you could be talking about their business.
Sure.
Because it all crosses over, doesn't it?
You want me to give you an example of something that's very exciting for small business owners?
Go ahead.
There was something that came out in 1996, and I think your listeners would be interested in this. For years, people have watched their health insurance premiums go up and up and up. And I'm sure, Jim, this has happened in your firm as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new plan called the Medical Savings Account.
Yeah.
Plan. And the way that it works is it gives some relief to small businesses. It's a high deductible health insurance plan. And any money above and beyond what goes into the health insurance part goes into a medical savings account, which is 100% tax deductible. We talked earlier about IRAs. This is a little bit like a medical IRA.
Yeah.
And the person can let that money build up and use it later on for retirement, so it's a savings vehicle. But the key thing that it does, Jim, is it gives power back to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I go to the doctor, I can write a check out against my medical savings account. And if I don't use it, I watch it grow. And it kind of flies in the face of the managed care that we've heard about with the
right.
co-pays and that sort of thing.
Now, this is an insurance instrument, isn't it?
It sure is. It's
yeah.
a health insurance instrument.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if you use the benefits of the medical insurance of this medical policy, medical instrument, I should say, if you use that, how does that change the relationship with the insurance company that offers that? I'm not completely sure I understand how it works.
Sure. Yeah. Let's go into a little bit more in depth. The medical savings account could be invested in any number of instruments. It could be mutual funds. It could be a bank savings account. It's separate usually from the insurance company that offers the health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If the money comes out for health insurance expenses, it comes out tax-free.
Uh-huh.
If it's used for non-medical expenses before 65, it's subject to a 15% excise penalty tax.
So it's basically like an IRA, as you said, that is specifically tied to the use of for medical benefits.
Right.
And so basically, does it become it's a supplement really to insurance, isn't it? If you have some kind of catastrophic problem or something like that.
Yeah, because the deductibles are quite high.
Mm-hmm.
For example, for a single person, it could be $1,500 or $2,250. And for a family, it could be $3,000 or $4,500.
Right.
Now, the employer, if they wanted to, they could also contribute on behalf of the employee. And if they do that, of course, it lessens the exposure in terms of ongoing medical expenses.
Now, is there a benefit level? I mean, is there like a death benefit on an insurance? Is there a medical benefit that you buy a certain level of?
Right. In other words, when you buy the health part of the policy, that's both a major medical and a hospitalization part.
Right.
And many of those companies now have unlimited maximums.
Oh, okay.
And some even cover preventative care, checkups and prescriptions.
Now, as I remember, though, when Congress did a good job of providing this for us, but they limited the number of people who could actually buy these things, didn't they? It was amazing to me.
Right, and when we come back, I'll tell you about that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a real good point. 50 after the hour, folks. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Rick Pinion, and our number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Rick Pinion, the President of Pinion Financial Services out of Bethesda, Maryland. Beautiful downtown Bethesda, Maryland. I've been there myself, which is very near to Gaithersburg, Maryland, where one of my great stations, WMET, broadcasts out of. And, Rick, I want you to give your phone number and your email quickly.
Sure. My phone number is in the Washington area is 301-652-4000.
Okay.
My 800 number is 1-800-296-4427.
All right. And what about your email?
Email is A1040, like the tax form, A1040 at Earls, E-R-O-L-S, .com.
All right. Now, Rick, I know we hadn't quite finished up on the MSAs, and I hope we still have time, but before we do, we've got a caller. Bonnie's on the line. She's been real patient and want to find out what she has to say. Hi, Bonnie.
Okay, hi, Jim.
Say hi to Rick Pinion.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Bonnie.
Okay, I would like to know what kind of retirement planning would you recommend for a small business owner?
Oh, okay, that's an excellent question. How big is your firm, Bonnie?
It's very small, about three people.
Three people?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bonnie, I think I'd look at a couple different plans.
Uh-huh.
One might be what they call a SEP IRA. It's SEP-IRA.
Okay.
And the second would be...
It stands for?
A Simplified Pension Plan, Simplified IRA. And the other one that I'd look at is a Simple IRA, S-I-M-P-L-E IRA. And those are very popular for small businesses. Obviously, I don't have time to go into all the details.
Oh, okay.
Rick, I don't mean to correct you, but doesn't SEP stand for Self-Employment Plan?
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're right.
I knew that's what you meant to say, and you were thinking of the other one, too. I think it stands for Self-Employment, and go ahead now, I'm sorry.
So anyway, if you take a SEP plan, you can put up to 15% of your income, and if you take the Simple IRA, you could put up to $5,000 of your income.
Okay.
So it all depends on how much you want to contribute and how much you want to contribute on behalf of your employees. If you take the Simple plan, you're required to put in 3% of what they put in as an employer contribution.
Would they qualify immediately when I hire them? Or?
Under the Simple plan, they would.
Uh-huh. Oh,
as long as they're age 21 and they're full-time employees.
I see.
Let me tell you two other things that you can do, Bonnie, quickly before we have to go. Number one, you can do this inside of your company, whether your company makes a lot of money or not, or whether you even are able to take a lot of money. You may not be able to fund, or until you can fund the SEP program or a Simple program completely, you can do this while you're operating your business. One is own your own real estate.
I see.
That's an excellent way to build some retirement money, own your own real estate, and two, put as much back into your business as you can. Pay your business first, build working capital in your company. That's one of the best ways to be able to be financially secure, in addition to all the things that Rick talks about. It's a combination of things.
Buying your real estate is expensive, isn't it?
Not necessarily. And that's another story. Call me, I've got to wrap it up for this hour.
Sure.
Call me back another time and let's talk about that
if you want to,
Bonnie, because I really do think that that's an important point that small business owners need to focus on. And, Bonnie, thanks for calling.
Okay,
I hope we helped you.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, hey, Bonnie. You're my hero. Don't forget that. Hey, Rick, we're coming up on the end of the hour. I appreciate all the callers calling in. I appreciate your time. We've had a great hour. Will you come back and let's finish our conversation? Not finish it, but continue it, I should say.
Sure, I'd love to. I'd like to help as many people as we can.
Good. I want you to come back and talk more about MSAs and some of the other instruments that are out there. Thank you very much for your time. You did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye, Rick.
Jim,
see you later.
You're our spokesperson.
Oh, thanks, Rick. I appreciate that. All right, folks, I've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, just like Bonnie, with three employees. I'm so proud of her because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.